Canada, and you listen to Sixth Sense Podcast.
When the soul of the city was laid to rest, and the nights forgotten and left for dead. Oh, 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 oh,
oh, oh. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back. It feels like it's been a long time, but welcome back to the Sixth Sense Podcast. Creech, what's up, buddy?
Not too much, man. Actually, well, I guess a lot.
But, we haven't been in here since I was looking at the dates on the last recording. I think it was April. It was like April 6th, right before the playoffs, actually.
I remember because we were discussing how we were going to come in here for a playoff preview.
Yeah, we kind of dropped the ball a little bit.
But, busy schedules.
Yeah. Life got crazy for a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, Nan, nice to see you and nice to be back in the studios recording. It feels like it's been so long.
I know.
But how are you enjoying the Stanley Cup Finals?
The Finals? It's not as bad as everyone's making it seem. It sucks that it's 3-0.
At least it's not the Rangers, right?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Because that was a huge concern coming in.
It might be a tighter series, but it'd be boring hockey.
We don't have to hear about shot blocking anymore?
Yeah. Don't have to hear Glenn Healy and talk about every Ranger on the planet. But, I don't know. I honestly was expecting a 6-7 game series. I didn't know who was going to take it. Like, I picked the Kings in 7. I thought it was going to be great because of New Jersey's forecheck. They really impressed me in the Philly series. Even a little bit in the Rangers series, I was pumped with the way New Jersey was playing. I was pumped for the Stanley Cup final, so it's kind of a dud now.
Kovalchuk's production's kind of dropped off. Same with Parise. I keep waiting for those guys to step it up and take control of the game like they did against the Rangers at times. And it just every time it seems like they have a chance, it's Jonathan Quick.
There's a few things. Jonathan Quick's just playing out of this world. He has been all season. Should be the Vezina winner in my opinion. Number two, I think the Kings have adjusted to the Devils' power play. Like, they know what the move is every time. They're going to find a way to get Kovalchuk one time on the
top of the circle area.
Yeah, on his off wing. And the other thing, how hurt is he? I haven't been listening to the TV broadcast because I've been working the game so far. So I haven't heard what's going on. But have they mentioned how hurt he is? Because he was...
Maybe it'll be like a Marian Gaborik thing where you find out, oh, maybe he's got like some kind of...
Well, he has a leg injury. He sat out a game against the Flyers.
Yep.
And
you'll find out the extent. As soon as it's over, you'll find out who does or does not need off-season surgery. And usually it's a lengthy list, especially at this time of year. And it wouldn't surprise me.
Impressed with Brodeur, though.
Absolutely. How can you not be? He's 40 years old, and he's still holding his own.
He's playing great. Kings are just burying their chances. Devils aren't burying theirs. How about you?
I'm enjoying the hockey. It's nice to not to have like any emotional attachment to the series whatsoever. But at the same time, I'm looking at the games thinking, oh... This could be Ottawa. You know, it's the Eastern Conference was so wide open this year, especially with Pittsburgh and the Crosby injury and the whole goaltending malfunctions between Bryzgalov and Marc-Andre Fleury. Like, both those guys shot the bed. And it's just a huge missed opportunity for the 14 other teams in the Eastern Conference. Like, that could have been anyone playing the Kings. And the Kings are playing so well, I don't think it would have mattered who they played.
Exactly. And now at least
they're just rolling.
At least the Sens will end up with a top 15 pick instead of 29th.
Question for you. I asked this last night on Twitter. Got some good responses, actually. But I wanted to hear your take on it. I said, if LA wins the Cup, are people going to look back 10 years from now when the Jeff Carter and the Mike Richards deals are still in effect and say, yeah, it was worth it?
I saw it, and I was going to reply, and I said, I'll save it for tonight. If that was me, if that was a Sens, I'd say it's worth it.
Just for that Cup, right?
Stanley Cup.
Yep.
That's what it's about, right?
Because there's always like that little hangover where, you know, like you win a cup, you can't really criticize anything that comes after the fact because, you know, you're still on your honeymoon. You're still, you know, you have that Stanley Cup hangover going on. Tough to be critical.
Oh, for sure. And even once it gets to that point where you just want to win again, obviously you're going to be upset and you're going to be throwing these guys under the bus, especially, I don't know, comes to mind, Jeff Carter. I think Mike Richards is going to be solid throughout most of that deal unless injuries stop him. But I'd look back and say, hey, we won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, you're immortalized. All right.
What answers did you get?
Same thing.
Yeah.
Well, like some people are like, you win a cup. That's what you play for. You win it. Kudos to Dean Lombardi for going all out, going to get a Mike Richards, going to get a Jeff Carter. They gave up a ton to get these guys.
They did.
And it's paying dividends.
I liked that trade at the time. I think we probably discussed it on here where I liked it for both clubs because LA definitely needed another like top six forward who could put the puck in the net. They didn't have any. And well, who knew Dustin Penner would turn his game around like this in the playoffs? But that Jack Johnson trade, like, I'd build my defense around that guy. I love Jack Johnson. I think it's a great move for Columbus. Guy clearly didn't want to be there. And I think Jeff Carter's more of a player where he's not
the man,
the guy you build around. No,
fair point.
Second line center.
He's not a guy you build around. Unfortunately, he's there till 2022. So but they're going to have to build around him.
They got a few other guys. They got Anze Kopitar and they have Mike Richards.
And
so
Dustin Brown's up in free agency in, I think, a year or two. So, yeah, that's the captain. It's going to be an interesting situation in LA. If they win, lots of decision making. But, hey, maybe the new CBA permits them to get creative with their contracts that are already existing. Getting back to Ottawa, though, obviously they lost in the first round to the Rangers. We haven't really hit on that or had the opportunity to hit on that. But what do you think? Briefly touch upon what you thought of Ottawa's performance, and is there any player or two in particular who stood out to you or you felt let you down?
This is going back. I was happy with the way they played. Normally, if you had told me coming into the season that they'd lose in seven by one goal to the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, I'd be pumped about it. Well, not pumped, but I'd be happy with the season. I think it's the way they did it, how they had a 3-2 series lead and they blew it, which is kind of... It was a little bit disappointing after the loss, but a lot of guys are jumping on Jason Spezza, but he's Spezza. He's not going to change. He's not going to become a physical player in the playoffs anytime soon.
He who is does what he is. Play with, though? Well, honestly, who on that line helps him out?
There you go.
None of those guys can carry the puck. Colin Greening, effective third line guy, miscast as a first liner. Milan Mikolic, he's a goal mouth, front of the guy. He creates a lot of opportunities off the rush, but once you have puck possession within the zone, he doesn't really create a lot of chances for his line mates. You know, he's the guy who stands in front of the net, does all the dirty work. Effective player. You need players like that. But if he's not going and Jason Spezza is not going, that first line's not going to do anything. And that's the problem. I think looking back at when Jason Spezza's line hasn't got going, they've moved Alfredson to that line to get it going. Alfredson can play with the puck.
Alfredson was... out of the lineup.
Yeah, and that's all it takes. But, yes, I think a lot of the criticisms for Jason Spezza have been unfair. He still wound up with, like, 5 points, even though some of them came in, like, the last minute of games where, you know, the game was already decided. He had an empty net goal. What do you think of Carlson's play?
New York was targeting him big time.
His game, too, was unbelievable.
What do you have, 10 shots, I think?
Yeah, he had a number of hits, too. Like, he was all over the place after the whole Brian Boyle-Matt Kerkner thing.
Yeah, but... I don't know. I'm not. I wasn't overly impressed, but I'm not going to jump all over him. It was just basically, well, I guess his first real playoff experience as a top pairing defenseman, because he played with in that Pittsburgh series, right?
But yep.
He was not receiving this many minutes and this much attention. I thought he was okay. New York's a tough team to play against and judge how guys like Spezza could have had a great series if he was playing against any other team. They kill a penalty for 60 minutes. They have arguably the best goaltender in the league. And all they do is shot block. What are you going to do? They almost got by.
I know. Missed opportunities. They're up 3-2 in the series. And, yeah, New Jersey very well could be Ottawa. And that's the sad part.
How many goals do you think – how many points Spezza would have put up if he was playing against Flyers D and
– or Pittsburgh and, for that matter.
Galov or
Pittsburgh. Well, for the longest time, Claude Giroux was leading the playoffs and scoring thanks to that Pittsburgh series.
There we go. So I'm not about to throw anybody under the bus. It was a tough-fought series against a team that – I'm sure if the Rangers were in the Stanley Cup Finals right now, it'd probably go 6 or 7 just because of the way they play.
Can't argue with that line of thought. Big news today. Brian Murray came out. Said, hey, we're not going to meet Filip Kuba's demands. We're not going to negotiate with him. He's going to free agency. The Filip Kuba era is over. Look at you laughing, smiling. Is this a sad moment for you? Obviously not.
Well, I wasn't laughing because he's gone. I'm laughing at... Radio is not great to see your reactions as your moving of your arms and everything as you're explaining Kuba's departure from the club. I don't know. I would have been happy bringing him back like on a 1-year contract worth whatever, $2 to $3 million. But if he's like, what is he, 35? I think he's 35, so he's probably going to be looking for his last contract right now. He's gonna get some decent coin and he wants some terms. So I wouldn't have been happy if they signed him to that. So if they're coming out saying that he's not in their future plans, it makes sense. I just don't know where they're going to replace the minutes.
Good point. You know what? it's getting to that time where we should probably call Wayne Scanlon, because he was talking to Brian Murray today, and he's the one who announced that Philip Kubo would not be coming back. So how about we go to break, get a drink, and then when we come back, we'll be joined on the line by Wayne Scanlon.
Beauty. Scanner's a beauty.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, fans. Joining us on the line from the Ottawa Citizen is the Wayne Scanlon. Wayne, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Not too bad. How's your offseason going?
Like the Ohio State, right?
The University of Miami.
Yeah, thank God there's only one of me.
So how are you enjoying the Stanley Cup Finals?
I take it or leave it. You know, I can leave the room and, you know, go hunt for a sandwich or something and not worry about rushing back. It's okay. I was really hoping for more. I think the Devils have kind of hit the wall here and run out of gas a little bit, because I was really hoping that the combination of them and, you know, this kind of burgeoning LA Kings team, that they might add up to a little more spice, a little more offense, but this is just a smother job. These Kings almost remind me of the 2007 Ducks that are, they were so big and kind of able to impose their will, and I just don't know how much is left of the Devils.
I've been watching the series at home, and all I can keep thinking is that there are 14 other teams in the Eastern Conference who are kicking themselves at the opportunity that was lost this year. It was such a wide-open conference.
You know what's funny to say that, because I happened to be talking to Brian Murray this morning, and we kicked around a few different topics, as you know, and when we came to the Stanley Cup Final, he said, we should still be playing. He said, when I watched the Devils and, you know, how they managed to beat the Rangers, and obviously the Rangers were there to be had in that game six. You know, I think he's probably got a case that, yes, the Ottawa Senators could still be playing hockey right now.
Graham Creech is shedding a tear right now.
Yeah, we'll pause. We'll dramatic pause.
So big news today. You were at Scotiabank Place. I guess the Senators are wrapping up their scouting meetings. Philip Kubo will not be re-signed by the Ottawa Senators, apparently. Are you surprised by that?
You know what? I wasn't actually out there. I was on the phone with Brian talking to him about some other things to do with their scouting, and we just happened to get into that discussion, and I kind of put it to him. I said, I'm sort of getting the sense that you're not wanting him back, and he said, that's right. We don't really think we're moving away from that, I think is the way that he put it. I don't think I was surprised. I think the sense I got when they closed shop at the end of the season was, if they could get this guy at a bargain rate in the, you know, the kind of the 2.5 mil range, that maybe they'd think about having him back, because he was a useful defenseman, had a decent season, and of course played quite well in partnership with Erik Karlsson. I think they figure now that with the young defensemen coming up, they got to pay Karlsson, they got to pay Jared Cowan down the road. They still got Gonchar's ticket at 5.5. That they really aren't in the market to go out and blow their brains out on an expensive defenseman. And so I think it's sort of, we either get Kubo cheap or we try to get another veteran in here that, again, is not going to cost us a fortune. And I think that's where they're at.
Yeah, I think everyone would have been pretty happy if they could get him on a short-term bargain of a contract. But I guess, do you think they're creating leverage because just coming out right now and saying that they don't see him in the future? Like, I don't know. I don't understand
it,
that.
You know what? It could be, but Brian seems to be walking away from it and suggesting that, look, you know, the way the market is and the season that he had, I mean, he is only 35. It's not like he's a 40-year-old out there, and there are some 40-year-olds available. That, you know, he kind of feels they're going to get their money. He's going to get that 3.7 that he was making with Ottawa, and maybe more. And it's sort of like, I'm not going there, and these guys feel they're going to get that, and they probably will, so power to them. So I think that's why he's walking away at this time.
Do you think that there's someone on the market that can fill his minutes, or do you think they'll look to make a trade to replace his ice time?
Well, it's funny because I'm not a big transactions guy, but I went on that kind of free agent list today, just kind of looking to see who might be available that might fit the bill. And, you know, there's some interesting names, just for fun to kind of kick them around. Like Ken Warren and I were talking about, like a guy like Shane O'Brien from Colorado. I think the kind of player they're looking for is going to be a kind of a standard, tough, stay-at-home type, almost like they have in Matt Carkner. And Carkner's a guy that may or may not come back. But I think they want a guy that can eat some minutes. There's a couple other guys that I was looking at on that list. Adrian O'Coyne played 20 minutes a game at the age of 40. I guess he's just about 40 now, for the Phoenix Coyotes. I don't know what he's got left, but there's a guy that was born in Ottawa, and Sean O'Donnell's another guy, obviously, with Ottawa connections. For the Chicago Blackhawks, I don't think he's capable of playing as many minutes, you know, as he used to, but I don't think they're going to get into that Suter or that Brian Allen kind of territory where it's going to cost more money. So, I mean, those are just a few names that I just kind of came up with.
Yeah, it kind of fits with the whole Borowiecki and Weirkoch teasing that Brian Murray's doing too. You look at the list, and there's a lot of guys who profile probably as like 5th, 6th, 7th defensemen at this stage of their careers, and there's not a lot of alternatives out there who really tantalize you and make you think, you know, yeah, that guy would be a fit at the right cost.
Yeah, and like they're not necessarily looking for a top four guy, depending on the development of like the Weirkoches of the world and the Borowiecki. I mean, they love Borowiecki. They love his work ethic. He's just a great, honest foot soldier, a guy that's not going to have a big ego. He's just going to go to work every day. He's tough, and he always seems to punch above his weight in terms of expectations. You know, this was a guy that wasn't really expected to be drafted. He was basically drafted at a junior A. Probably wasn't really given a shot to impress at the American Hockey League level, and he's gone down there and impressed them. So it's kind of like he's beaten expectations so often that it is now turned on its head, and it's now expected that I think this guy's probably going to be a regular defenseman down the road. And I think the idea is, yeah, maybe they pick up a guy for insurance, but not to get in the way, not to impede the progress of some of these young guys in the system. And let's not forget, guys, that there's a, when you look at this 2012 draft pool, it's very deep in defensemen. So, I mean, they don't necessarily need to draft another defenseman, but if they want to go that way, this isn't a bad year to do it. So there's another guy that you could throw into the mix to go with the young and up-and-comers in the system.
Yeah, that's a great point. Those players usually take, you know, maybe a season or two to develop and get their legs underneath them. Looking at a guy like Patrick Weirkoch, for example, he feels like he's been in the system forever now.
doesn't it, though?
Absolutely.
And set back by that fluky injury, getting the puck to the throat last year. And,
yeah.
Had really knocked him back. But I had a meeting with him, I guess it was about 10 days ago, and he looks great, he feels good, you know, his voice is strong, and he's almost had a near-death experience. You know, he has that kind of feel about him that he's just wanting to take advantage of any opportunity that he has now, and he feels there's tremendous opportunity with this club at this time.
Getting back to you, maybe acquiring a veteran, Wayne. Now, one of the things that I mentioned on the website earlier this week is the possibility of perhaps moving some of the depth that they've accumulated within the forward ranks, maybe at the NHL level, maybe at the AHL level, to bring in maybe a top four defenseman who maybe might not be as expensive as some of the alternatives on the free agent market. Do you see that kind of being a route that Brian Murray could take?
I certainly think it's a possibility. You always have to remember with Brian, he's never afraid to make a deal, including a big deal. I mean, with all the hoops they went through to get David Rundblad, for example, and to sing his praises and to actually, you know, move down a position in the draft, if you will, because they ended up, you know, giving up, what was it, they gave up a 16th, I think, to get him, who had been like a 17th the previous year, and then to trade him away for Kyle Turris. It just shows you that he's not afraid to surprise people with a deal. So, I mean, whether or not a guy like a Nick Foligno or, you know, some others that maybe just don't fit in down the road because they've got to create spots for Silverberg and Zibanejad and some of these other guys that they have great hopes on. I think it's a distinct possibility if he thinks he can get, you know, some value for these players. I think there has to be some movement down the road because I just think that there's too many good young kids in the system now that if they're all going to pan out, something has to give.
Wayne, if they stand pat, you'd assume that Jared Cowan would jump into that number two defenseman role and play with Carlson. How much pressure does that put on him?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do there. Do they pick up a veteran that's going to be that stay-at-home guy for Carlson? Is Chris Phillips going to be that guy? You know, I think ultimately that's the pairing that we all envision down the road, much as we imagined Wade Redden and Chris Phillips kind of playing together forever. And as it turned out, you know, we had that one wrong. But they did play in the same organization for a long time, but not very often together. But I think whether or not Cowan is ready for that this year remains to be seen. But I do think down the road that that's what we imagine, that those two guys are eating all the minutes. You've got a kind of a classic, you know, stay-at-home type in Cowan with some upside on the offensive side. You know, there's some potential there that we saw this year. And then Carlson is free to do his thing. I think that's the pairing that we all envision. But, you know, it's funny how these things can shake out, and I use Phillips and Redden as an example. As it turned out, Phillips really came into his own alongside Anton Bolchenkov, you know, and whether that was a top pairing, some years it was a top pairing, some years it was a 3-4, but it became their shutdown tandem, and that's, you know, defensive pairings are funny animals. You guys have to find their connection, and if there's no chemistry there with Cowan and Carlson, then they'll go another route, and they'll both get a bunch of minutes. But it'll be interesting to see how quickly they try to put those two together, whether that's something that they look at right out of training camp.
Awesome. Wayne, last question before we let you go. You touched on Daniel Alfredson's future with the Ottawa Senators. Brian Murray expects a decision by the end of the month. He's not going to pressure the organization, or he's not going to pressure the player to make that decision. What's your take on the whole situation, and what odds do you give Daniel Alfredson of returning for next season?
Oh, I think it's probably at least 70-30 in favor of him returning. I'd be pretty surprised at this point. I think he really would have fooled us all if he were to turn around now and say, that's it, you know, I've been in the gym and I'm tired or something like that. I can't see it. And I know he was discouraged and disappointed, you know, after Sweden lost out in the quarterfinals at the Worlds. But I do think he will be back. Maybe 70-30, but maybe even higher than that. I'd be pretty shocked at this point if he were to come out and say, you know what, I've tried and I just don't feel I have it in me. I think he's coming back.
Fantastic stuff. Wayne, hope you enjoy the rest of your offseason. Hope to talk to you soon. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
All right. Take care.
Thanks,
all the best.
Love working with Scanner.
The one name that wasn't brought up, and you were making fun of me on the whole walk in. Jason Garrison's name didn't come up. Surprise, surprise.
Actually, I wasn't even thinking of that during the conversation or a little chat there. That didn't come up. We probably had a lengthy, what? How long is a walk over here? 10 minutes?
Yeah, probably. Like we walked over from Brewer, the arena, yeah.
Probably 5 minutes were spent on Garrison.
You were just making fun of me the whole way in, though. You're
nah.
Just like, oh, come on. You don't play coy on the radio now.
No, I will. I'll say exactly what I said to you. I'm not beating up Jason Garrison. I just think that the coin he's going to see for the role he'll bring is going to be too much because he's a UFA.
And the class is so crappy.
And we took a look at Kapke. Go do yourself a favor while you listen to this. Go check out Kapke and the unrestricted free agent defenseman, and it's thin.
Oh, it's awful. The Adrian Ocoin angle was something different.
Yeah, that I didn't even think of that as we were going through the list, and then Scanner brought that up. That's true.
And it's actually crazy to see how many local players are actually on that list.
And that's what I was thinking as Curtis I originally
Foster's
went through.
Curtis Foster's there, Sean O'Donnell,
but
O'Coin.
Everyone is old or has injury histories. Like that you mentioned, Foster, Ocoin, O'Donnell. Like they're all getting up there or injury troubles. Another connection that you mentioned earlier was we got to scroll way down. Way down to find this guy.
Brandon Bell. Nice.
That's not what I was looking at. Fuck. You mentioned him earlier. What? Chris Campoli.
Chris Campoli. Awful.
Oh.
It's a very thin class.
That's what
I'm saying.
It's
tough to even get excited about it. Like, I'm not even looking forward to July 1st because I think you're going to see guys like Garrison. In normal years, he probably wouldn't be like the highest pedigree guy, but because of his role on the Florida Panthers playing with Brian Campbell on the top pairing against the other team's best lines, like, this is going to be a guy who's in demand. And you figure like that would kind of be like the sneaky good player who's like the sleeper that you'd want to target.
And I think it would be a nice fit, especially if Carlson's setting him up for bombs from the point because he's got a rocket. He plays. I think he averaged 22, 23 minutes a night. I think he led the Panthers in shorthanded time on ice for the defenseman.
Right.
So I'm not attacking him in any way. And I had this conversation with Steph Chi. I just think that he's going to see like $4 or $5 million, and I don't know if that's the right fit.
The one thing that's interesting, though, and I touched upon this on the website earlier this week, it might have been yesterday, actually, if Alfredson comes back, and Scanlon seems to think that there's a very good chance of that happening, if Alfredson comes back, he's only playing for $1 million real dollars. His cap hit's still like 4.8 or something, and Kuba's contract's gone. So that's like, you know, like that's a lot of money. And that might be enough to help pay Erik Karlsson and then invest some of it in another defenseman. But it is. It's going to be huge to see whether or not the organization decides to stand pat, give the opportunity to Jared Cowan, because that's asking a lot of those two rookie defensemen. That was a great point that you brought up in the interview. Like, that's a lot of pressure on Carlson and Cowan to elevate their games next year and shoulder that load, especially for how young they are.
And if they do that, who comes? That means...
And Sergei Gonchar is still a second-pairing defenseman. Like, I thought his play started to suffer at the end of the year.
So what do they do? They separate... excuse me. Gonchar and Phillips and put what?
See, I like Chris Phillips playing sheltered third pairing minutes.
I like that too. I think it's
I thought
great
he played his best
him.
Hockey.
For sure.
And yeah, it's just, you know, if Ottawa doesn't do well next season, it's going to be the defense that lets them down.
Maybe they make a move. You never know with Brian Murray.
Yeah.
You penned an article about...
Well, we've seen the goaltending move with Bishop, which fit the need, kind of like an assassin move. Same Kyle Turris, not many people really, well, I guess Kyle Turris was playing Phoenix at the time. He was on the outs, but nobody knew when he was getting moved. A lot of people assumed it'd be at the end of the year, but...
Can you imagine they don't have Turris? Who's your second line center right now?
Exactly.
There's a lot more questions.
Exactly, but they haven't made that similar kind of move for a defenseman. Maybe they have something up their sleeve. They have a lot of prospects at the forward positions. They have guys like McCulloch or Foligno who you might be able to augment with someone else and bring back a stud defenseman. Like Wayne said, you can't just assume that the team's going to go ahead and, you know, pen a guy like Garrison or Ryan Suter to a big deal just because they have the money to do it. They got to be looking at their future, too. They have to re-sign Cowan. They have to re-sign Carlson. They're probably going to draft a defenseman this year. Like, you still have to have that eye in the future. You just can't have that one guy there now.
So you're thinking Winnipeg? I did like – well, I'd like that we also just chatted on this off air on the way over. And I think if you move McCulloch, you're going to have to find somewhere to replace those. And I know we disagree a little bit on this. I'm not expecting somebody to come up and get 35 goals. I'm not expecting McCulloch to do that again. But you can't walk in there with like Silverberg and Stone on your top line.
No.
To start a season.
Absolutely not.
If you could get a Toby Enstrom or Zach Bogosian, I'd be very happy with that.
See, the sad part is, and like we were talking about this on the way over as well, it's people now are kind of focusing on Spetz's line and saying, well, you can't pencil in one of the rookies to play on his side and expect big things. But then, you know, these same people, you need to remind them that Jason Spetz had played half the season with Bobby Butler on his right wing, a struggling Bobby Butler. So he played with nobody on his right wing for most of the season. So what is a fair assessment? Colin Greening scored 15 goals. maybe you can't replace the goal scoring abilities of a Milan McCulloch if that's the guy who they decide to trade. But as a collective, maybe they can find a 20 goal scorer in free agency, or maybe that guy could be an internal option,
and
like
that's
a Stone or a
to.
Silverberg. And then you hope a guy like Greening can improve his production by like a couple goals. Kyle Turris could score more goals. It'll be a collective effort to replace anything that you trade out from the forward ranks.
Is Turris staying in Ottawa all summer?
He is. He's working stronger. Out. I think he's working out with Weirkosh in Ottawa. Yeah.
Yeah, they're buddies.
Yeah, they're tight.
BC boys. Monster Truck boys. Yeah, no, that's the first thing I thought, just watching him in the playoffs. Like, not that he had a bad playoff, but you could tell he needs to get stronger, a lot stronger, and he'll be fine because he's got the talent. He's got that shot.
Brian Murray stressed in the offseason, there are so many good young players coming up through the ranks who are pushing for spots, whether it's on defense or at the forward ranks, and you know, it forces guys to spend more time in the offseason in Ottawa working with the trainers here to get bigger, stronger. There is that internal competition to get better and hold on to that spot that you've held. So who knows? Who knows where we're sitting like 6 months from now?
You mentioned moving Nick Foligno as part of a package. Is that something you think they're going to do? Because they challenged him in the exit meeting, right? So to me, that sounds like they want him back, but they want him to produce more, be a more consistent player.
It's the goal scoring. Like, you look at his point production, wealth of assists. I was looking at his numbers the other day. He had a ton of secondary assists. I think he was like top 15 in the league in terms of secondary assists per 60 minutes of ice time or whatever it is, the metric on behindthenet.ca. And that's not at an elite level. I think like the only third line comp with Foligno at the time was like Pascal Dupuis, who was playing with Jordan Staal in Pittsburgh. But everybody else was a top line player. And I think if Foligno is really going to take that next step, he has to be more consistent. He has to, you know, he has to produce more first assists. He has to get more goals. Because if you watch Nick Foligno play, he looks great skating from his own end to the opposition's blue line. He'll stick out through three guys and then he'll stick handle into the corner and there's no scoring chance. And I think the organization just needs to get more chances from him. And it's not materializing the way that they wanted to anyways. But I mean, like, he's a guy who could play top 6 minutes. And I don't think I'd bat an eyelash at it. I'd be like, all right, give him a shot. He deserves it based off the season that he had last year. I thought his game came around. He hit more people, took more goaltender interference penalties. He was awesome.
When he becomes that player, that's what I like from Nick Foligno. When he's getting nasty, he's finishing his checks, dirty goals. He's not a natural goal scorer.
I don't think he has the touch.
No.
But he gets a nice one every year.
Oh, yeah, but it's usually come off a dangle, and then he'll just kind of slide it in.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have that natural sniping finishing ability.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of possible third-line center positions, what are your thoughts on Chris Kelly?
No.
Yeah, I agree. We're the same page with that.
No.
I knew your answer.
But I've heard rumbles around the time that he was dealt from Ottawa. You know, he came out. At least this is rumored what I heard. Is that there was an opportunity, like if there was an opportunity to come back to Ottawa in free agency once his deal with Boston was over, he'd be interested in pursuing that. I don't know if you've heard the same things.
I've heard that. He's won a cup.
He was an assistant captain in Boston this year, I believe?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. He's kind of become entrenched with that organization as well. I think Peter Chiarelli's negotiating a new deal with him, or at least he was trying to. Whether or not that comes to fruition, I have no idea. But
even still, do you like that move?
I'd like to give Zach Smith maybe a little bit more time to see if he can be that guy. Peter Regan's coming back this season as well. I don't know if he's going to slot in at the left wing spot or the center spot. Actually, he's another guy who could be another good secondary score guy to pick up the slack. But there are options at center for the third line position. I don't think the organization should be paying a guy like Chris Kelly at this stage of his career to come in. And I think he would help, but I just can't justify the cost. Like, I'd imagine he'd be coming back at a salary of, what, $3+ million probably?
No, you're bang on.
And I just, you know, considering you're paying Zach Smith $1 million, not even, I think it's like $900K. I'd rather have a guy who puts up maybe similar numbers, especially because Kelly had a career year. He's not going to be shooting, I think he shot like 19% or something last year. That's not going to happen again.
And he was playing with guys that are better guys than what he'd be playing with in Ottawa.
Exactly. If you're playing on the third line with Colin Greening and Chris Neal, you're not going to score 20 goals. I'm sorry. Like, Rich Peverly is a hell of a player in Boston. Perhaps one of the most underrated players in the league. And it's just not going to happen again.
I know I'm just switching up topics, but sticking with Boston.
Are you going Timmy Thomas?
You know it.
Yeah, it's kind of been a weird week for the goaltenders.
Crazy. I don't expect him. I don't know.
I feel bad for Boston in the sense that from an asset management perspective, they lose Thomas and they're not going to get anything for him. Unless they suspend him, they keep that year on his contract and then they move him at a later date. I don't know.
I think it sounds like they'll just probably let his contract run out if that happens. I'm not sure what they're going to do.
It seems like such a waste, though, because when he plays, he's an elite-level goaltender.
Do you think he's doing this because he's legitimately going to sit out, or he's...
Who knows?
I don't know what he's doing, but it sounds like he wasn't popular in the room either, from everything I've read, that he wasn't a very popular teammate. They kind of put up with it because he's world-class goalie.
Well, the whole White House thing was a me-first move. You can laud the way that he put his own personal opinions and views out there. And, he spoke out against the current government. That's fine. That's great that you have that reach, especially on Facebook, and spout your beliefs. That's awesome. You're entitled to that. That's great. But, I mean, it's a team thing. It's not a Tim Thomas is invited to the White House thing. It's the Boston Bruins won the Cup. Don't draw more attention to yourself than it needs to. And I don't think it's any coincidence that he struggled shortly thereafter. You know? Like, his season went in the tank from that point on. So
he's mentally drained.
Yeah.
I don't see an elite goaltender taking a full year off.
But then he wants to play in the 2014 Olympics. Like, it doesn't. Like, for a guy that age, it doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense.
When you got a Ryan Miller and a Jonathan Quick already.
Exactly.
And then.
Like, what are you hoping on? That the pros aren't going over? Like, come on. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Strange stuff. Yeah, I guess it's good for Tuukka Rask.
Thomas Bocoon, though.
I like the move.
Yeah.
I think
that's a lot of money.
Maybe
though,
a little
two
bit
years?
Too much money. But you could tell that Marc-Andre Fleury had a terrible playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell that
maybe
the Penguins
played too many games.
I don't know. I'm not sure what. Maybe he's drained. He has played a lot of hockey in the last few seasons. Went to two Cup finals. I think he averages 65 games a year. They clearly didn't have any trust in Brent Johnson's capabilities anymore.
I don't blame them for that.
So what this move I like about it is it's not like they bring in a young guy or an up-and-coming goaltender. They brought a guy in who's in the twilight of his career, but that's still capable. So they're telling Marc-Andre Fleury, like, you're still our guy, but this guy's going to give you a push, and we're going to throw him in there. If
more internal competition. It's good.
I like the
move. If he can elevate his game. He hasn't had that, really, since he's been there. Like Jocelyn Thibault, I think, might have still been around when he was first coming up. I can't remember.
That might have been
the closest that they had.
It's Jocelyn Thibault.
Exactly. Thoughts on Ottawa's roster situation moving forward? Regan's coming back. Was that a surprise?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. They like his skill. Like you see it, and he has flashes ever since he joined the team. I think he had that one goal against St. Louis his first few games up as a Senator a few years ago. And he's always kind of had that natural finish and that skill. He just can't stay healthy. Reminds me a little bit like a poor man's Martin Havlat.
I can see that. Maybe not the touch.
Yeah.
Maybe not the same touch. But he's an offensive player. He's a good two-way player. You can see
it. And just
the
injury history. And
I thought as soon as the season started, he was thriving under Paul McLean. But worst-case scenario, he's another asset that perhaps the organization could trade to bring in someone that they like. Or maybe they can. Maybe he's the presence that they could use, at least in a short-term situation, to possibly ship a Foligno or McCulloch to lessen that blow, soften that blow a little bit.
Okay.
He's like the forgotten guy.
So there's a lot of guys that we're just throwing into that top six. What about Zibanejad?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Move to the wing?
You could play there. It's a lot to expect. I don't know.
Well, he's going to be in North America, right?
They threw Mark Stone into the fire in the playoffs. Like, nothing could surprise me at this point.
There's just so many bodies is what I'm getting
at. Bobby Butler is another name. Like, he came off a bad season, but he has somewhat of a scoring touch, I suppose. I'm shaking my head.
He has a good shot.
Yeah, but that's it.
Wish I could shoot like that.
But that's it. He was a little bit snake bit. He hit some posts and stuff early in the season. And he was playing with the injury coming out of camp with his groin, undisclosed injury. I think he pissed off the coaching staff because they expected more out of him, and he just couldn't give it because he was trying to play through an injury to keep a spot. Who knows what he can give you next season? Jakob Silfverberg, another guy who probably could play top 6 minutes at some point.
I'd assume so. He oozes that. Like, he looks like he's going to be a player. And that final.
And then Colin Greening's around too. I don't know.
I don't know. I think I like him on the third line. You could get a nice line of Colin Greening, Zach Smith, and another like Chris Neal.
A nice physical line.
Yeah. With some finish ability.
Yeah.
Tough to argue with that. The good news is, though, if you're looking at it from a big picture perspective, there's a lot of movement. There's like just the way that the roster is currently structured. There is a lot of opportunity for movement. And we haven't even touched on guys like Andre Peterson or like Stefan DaCosta, guys who like teased with a little bit of potential last year, had decent seasons in Binghamton. You know, they had that like cup of coffee at the NHL level. They showed some skill. But I mean, are those guys NHL players yet? We don't really know. There's a lot of depth, man. Like, it's
offensively,
it's crazy.
Should be an interesting offseason and camp.
They have the opportunity to do a lot of things. Moving some of that quantity to get some better quality. Will they do it?
I'm excited to see Shane Prince in Bingo next year.
Yeah. Same with Paggio, assuming that they sign him.
Yeah.
I heard he was close, apparently.
Well, I don't know. I'm excited for Stefan Nason, too.
Is Nason going down to Bingo?
I don't think so.
Pumple might. I don't know how it works. I don't know how they... When do they designate a 20-year-old and junior?
Isn't Shane Prince already 19?
I think he's done. I think he's played four years.
He can still go back to
as an
Ottawa.
As an overager.
I don't think... Like, that's not their plan, I don't think.
Well, Dorian already said in an interview on 1200 that they had designs to have Paggio and Prince in Binghamton next season.
Yeah.
So, assuming that they both sign, which probably should happen soon. Binghamton's going to be interesting, which kind of brings you to like Luke Richardson.
Can only go up from the season they had.
Yeah, I suppose. But I mean, player development is so important, especially for some of the names that you have down
there. That's a good point.
Like if a Silverberg has to play down there, if a Stone has to play down there, if a Zibanejad has to play down there, he's going to have a whole lot of talent. So how much do you trust Richardson?
Well, like there's no system we have to judge him on other than the only thing I look at it, the Murrays, what are they known for? Developing talent and drafting. If they're making that move, I think they're pretty confident that.
Plus Steve Sterling's still down there. There's a little bit of experience. Lots of holdovers from last season as well. So maybe that adjustment probably won't be that big. They don't have a lot of veteran talent, though. That's one thing I am kind of worried about.
They lost a lot after their Calder Cup.
Yeah, they lost it. And guys like Corey Locke are probably moving on this offseason as well. But like, because the Ottawa will have that wealth of like youth and that prospect development aspect going on with the roster, I don't know how many veterans are going to want to sign in Binghamton, knowing that many of these other prospects are probably going to be higher up in the pecking order for a promotion.
If they can find a career HLer who knows it,
like a Mark Parrish, bring him back maybe.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about contract situations on guys in the HL, so I'm not sure who's available. Like you look at a Danny Hamel or like a guy like of that ilk. Come play on this top line with this second line with Shane Prince.
How big is this year for Robin Lehner?
On his performance or what he does when he gets sent down?
On everything. In terms of perhaps all the prospects in Ottawa's system, he's the guy this year who I'm looking forward to watching the most, or at least reading up on and like maintaining that level of, okay, what's he doing?
I think he's going to be a money goalie. Like he's just.
Yeah, he had a good little cup of coffee up in Ottawa this season. Like 935 save percentage.
He was awesome.
Yeah. Held his own in the couple games that he was here.
That Calder Cup run, Bingo was down 3-1 in the opening round. Down 3-1 when they put him in. Then they won three straight games
stops,
in overtime.
Stops a penalty shot to
in
keep
overtime.
Him in overtime.
He's going to be a winner. I just hope that he's okay with going down there because they're not going to send Bishop.
Well,
down.
He needs to play though. That's the thing. Like he has so many problems with like just staying in the lineup, being consistent. Mind you, I don't know how much of that is reflective of like the quality of teammates that he had last season at Binghamton. It was one of the worst teams in the AHL last year. But I want to see him play a load of games, deal with it, thrive. Just fucking be the man. Like, be the fucking guy. Be the guy that everybody wants you to be, and then, you know, roll with it from there. That's the thing. Make Craig Anderson expendable. That's what you want in a perfect world, because then you can roll with an inexpensive tandem of Ben Bishop and Lehner. That's the perfect situation. Will it happen? That's what I'm looking forward to the most.
Unbelievable. It's going to be crazy what they do with that goaltending situation. 3 more years for Anderson.
Senators are going to be a fun team to be. These are the best years because you don't have the expectations. You just want to see player development. You want to see entertainment in hockey. And you just want to see these guys grow as players and individuals. And this is the best time. They're not weighted by those expectations. You look at Vancouver, like, their fan base is like a frenetic mess. Like, they're just, what do we do now? Who do we bring in? Let's get Bobby Lou out of town. You know, like, they're so close to, like, being the cup favorites every year. And they're like the mad scientist trying to add something to the potion to make it work this time.
Keep losing to the eventual cup winner.
Yeah. And it's just, that's the way it's worked out every year for them. I'm not weighted by those expectations.
You can tell
it's
the fan base around here, too. Everyone's pumped.
I heard a rumor that the season ticket base is going up to 13,000 this year, which is unheard of in Ottawa. Unheard of.
Especially when you take a look just last year about what the future was going to hold for season tickets here, based on that season.
And you know what? The All-Star game, I thought last season, that's the carrot that they dangle in front of your face saying, please renew, please renew. Come to the All-Star game. It'll be great. This year, they don't have that luxury, but if the season ticket base goes up to 13,000, that's unbelievable. Unbelievable, because it's not like tickets are getting cheaper.
Younger fans are growing up. There's
becoming
more
Sens fans.
Yeah, that's
true, too. First-generation Sens fans are finally having that income, that disposable income to spend on tickets. So, great time to be a Senators fan.
I'm loving it. You're getting me pumped up right now.
Entry draft coming up. You want them to take a defenseman?
I want them to take the best player available.
That's a cop-out.
No,
I'm just busting you.
The reason I say it that way,
Cody Ceci, are you a fan?
Yeah, I like his game, but I don't think he'll drop to 15. I don't know. I think they should have taken Dougie Hamilton last year. No knock on Zibanejad, but the way they were thinking, we got Rundblad, we got Cowan, we got Carlson. We don't need another defenseman.
It's weird too because Dorion said in an interview they probably had. They wouldn't say who the defenseman was, but they said they had him slightly more highly rated than Zibanejad, but they drafted kind of based on need.
Yeah, that was with the team. I think he said that they had them even, and then they drafted on the need.
On the need.
Yeah, and he didn't mention who it was, I don't think. You're right.
But, I mean, I think he was the closest guy because Scheifele, Couturier, Zibanejad role, those centers in the mix, and that's just the way it worked out. But, yeah, I'm hoping they get someone good.
Just take the guy they like the best.
Take a Swedish defenseman mid-round, first round. It worked out the last time. Do it again. Just do it again.
Yeah, it didn't work out too bad last time.
Not bad at all. Any closing thoughts?
I don't know. I guess now I just hope that Kings finish it off in four, win it on home ice, see the celebrities and the Kings fans go crazy. I don't know. I'm excited to see Mike Richards win a cup. I've already conceded.
You just want to see the Paulina Gretzky, Jana Gretzky. You just want to see them celebrate in the crowd. I know you.
No, I just... the perfect scenario would be if this would go to seven. I just don't expect that. After that third period last night, I think New Jersey just hit a wall and they're done.
Yeah.
It's too bad. I was really pumped up for this series. After the second round, even the third round.
See, I'm the opposite. I don't want it to go long. I want it to get over with so that we can focus on player activity, trades, the draft, the NHL awards where Ottawa has Paul MacLean, Daniel Alfredson, Erik Karlsson up for major awards. That's stuff that I actually just want to get to. Get it over with.
Those are on the same dates, though. They wouldn't move up any farther.
I know. I just want them to get here quicker and get the attention. Get the attention off LA. I think it's a foregone conclusion at this point that the Devils are done.
Oh, absolutely. That's why at the start of the series, I wanted seven. Now, I just want it to end tomorrow night.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Conn Smythe?
Conn Smythe, quick.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he should be the Vezina also, but he's not going to get that, so... Take his Conn Smythe and his Stanley Cup. And
you've been consistent with that. Last show we talked about the end of the season awards, and that's what you had as well. So
he's been the best goalie all year, and they wouldn't even be in the playoffs if it wasn't for him. He has no run support whatsoever.
Run support. Someone's been watching too much baseball lately.
Someone's following Nichols on Twitter lately. It's that good draft. Stuff.
Maybe that's the cue for, all right, guys, it's time to wrap it up. You're talking baseball. Creech, thanks for coming in. Wayne Scanlon, thanks for coming on the show. I always enjoy having you on.
Let's do this more often.
Yeah, we got to get back in here before the draft. We'll do a little bit draft primer. Maybe I can get like Nate Sager to come in from Yahoo Sports. He's been doing the junior blog there as well. Maybe I can get Gus Katsaros from McKean's Hockey in, and then maybe even Corey Promen from Hockey Prospectus we could have on as well. So hopefully maybe we can line something up like that for you listeners. And Creech, thanks again, man.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
We got to do this more often.
For sure.
All right. Thanks, listeners. Take care.